you're having a great Friday afternoon and hope you have a great weekend. As some CFL football on, of course, Stanley Cup final, the NBA final. Will you be like me, setting the alarm early for the Monaco Grand Prix in F1 this weekend, one of the most storied races in F1? The local guy?
Not going to lie, no.
Charles Leclerc had a great, and Team Ferrari had a great practice session in Monaco.
Is that kid, today. That teenager still winning?
Yeah, like he still wins everything.
All right.
Antonelli is unreal. 19 years old. And he's beating everybody. It's unbelievable. And even at this race, which is a lot more technical.
What is still it? Is he fearless well. Or something?
I guess so. Just.
It's not a sport that kids usually excel at.
They you grow up in, right? Like, all these kids have been racing go-karts since they were two,
but it
usually
takes years for guys to start winning.
They're getting younger and younger, like every sport, right? You look at Macklin Celebrini at 19 and 18 years old and how well-trained they are, and simulators now. Like, the racing simulators to practice and all those things are so refined. Yeah. They actually have simulator races now involved in F1. Where they crown champions of a guy sitting in front of screens driving a car. So that's part of the deal. But it is the Monaco Grand Prix this weekend. World Cup warm-up games this weekend as well as people put the finishing touches on their teams ahead of next week's World Cup. Starts Thursday, and then Canada opens their tournament on Friday. But let's talk a little bit more hockey, and we're going to go to Vancouver. They have a new head coach. Is Manny Malhotra. He won a Calder Cup in the AHL 2 years ago with the Abbotsford Canucks. Patrick Johnston covers the Canucks for Post Media after 1 year of Adam Foote failure. Should they have just hired Manny Malhotra last year?
Yeah, maybe. Coming off the Calder Cup win, there have been a lot of buzz. There's still a lot of buzz. It's tough to really think about what actually happened over the past year because there was this narrative that, you know, Adam Foote was a guy that was familiar to Quinn Hughes and, you know, maybe he'd be able to sort of run things back the way things had gone with Rick Tocchet and so on and so on and so on. But I was always pretty convinced it was about money. But in the end, they had him under contract. They had Manny in Abbotsford under contract, and there's just fewer moves, right? Didn't have to do as many things. Anyway, here we are. He is now the coach. And I think it's a good choice.
So, Patrick, we got the Sedins, right? Workout freaks. I don't know what Ryan Johnson's workout regime is, but he looks like he's in fairly decent shape. And then Manny Malhotra steps in, and you look at him and you go, like, there's going to be clearly rules and sort of guidelines for what they expect from their players just based on how this entire organization looks. I'm curious if that's going to work its way into the people that report on this team. What's your gross grind time?
Oh my God. No, thank you. Oh God. But have you guys ever done that?
No.
I walked it.
I mean, I grew up here. I would always say, well, I was never interested in this. Way more interesting hikes. I get why people do it from fitness, but way more interesting hikes. And so I go do those, and I've done them, you know, I have done it a couple times. I have no interest. I don't have the obsessive interest that the Sedins seem to have about it. I'm pretty sure Manny has about it. And I don't know what Ryan, I mean, Ryan's in good shape. You're absolutely right. Like, these are all four guys who really do have taken good care of themselves. But yeah, I mean, that was the joke with the Sedins, you know, is how much is this going to be for every player that comes in as part of the recruitment process?
Or if they a little intimidating, it. No? Like,
oh, my God.
When your president and coach and GM are all in better shape than you?
Yeah. Guys, we can do it.
Is that another donut there, buddy? No?
Yeah, exactly.
But it does set, isn't that part of a standard it will set, though? Like, for conditioning and all that stuff, when, hey, the bosses are asking you to do it, and they're doing it. Like, wouldn't that help? Like, look at Roddy Brind'Amour in Carolina. He beats out some of the guys in the pre-training anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. I asked Ryan Johnson Thursday. I said, listen, this is the first time, other than the stretch in the early 90s when Pat Quinn was president, GM, and coach all at the same time, this is the first time in team history that those three positions have been held by former Canucks, four former Canucks right now. So guys that have been here, they kind of have a sense of, truly a sense of the club, if you will. And I basically said, does that matter? And Ryan took it in a really interesting direction, which is he talked about the players. I was thinking more kind of as a, big picture, like the fans and the community and all that kind of stuff. But he went right at sort of the player element. And he said, no, in the end, it doesn't matter. Because, and then when we followed up about it, it was very much about like, he said, no player wants to hear when I played in my day, blah, blah, blah. Right? That doesn't, he's found, the moment you, or witness the moment that you do that, their eyes start to glaze over and they're just like, oh yeah, whatever. So you can't do that anyway. Mm-hmm. What you have to do, and this is what I said to him, I kind of threw it at him afterwards. I said, listen, I was more thinking for the public. And he said, I still don't think it matters. I think because at the end of the day, the job, everyone's looking at you to do the job, right? You are the GM of a hockey team. That's it. You are a coach, you're a GM, you're a president, and your job is to make the right decisions and set the whole sort of frame up for the players. And the players have an expectation that you're going to deliver and set things up for them as well. And, so it's that sort of give and take. It's like, you show them respect by setting things up, and then you better get the respect back. And if you don't, you need to move on from those guys and find new guys.
Patrick, what kind of coach is Manny Malhotra going to be for the Vancouver Canucks? Is there a descriptor for that for people that might not be familiar with what he brings to the table?
My impression is he's very focused, very intense, but very empathetic, right? Like he obviously his son is a big part of the story, right? And I know we're going to talk about it, but like, he helped coach his son's team when they were younger here, when he was 11, 12, 13. He is very aware of what kids are like and what they need from a coach. And obviously, winning the Calder Cup, being a championship coach doesn't happen by accident. Like you have to, first of all, set your lines up right and pick the right players and put them on the ice at the right time. But you also have to say the right things and set the tone in a way that the players understand and want to buy into. I think he is, if you're trying to say player's coach, he is sort of that version of that. He's very, on board with helping his players and being on their level. At the same time, setting a tone, setting an expectation, winning championships. Very smart guy. You could see in the answers yesterday, if you listen to the answers yesterday, there's a guy that thinks a lot about what he does. He's very deliberate in how he does things.
Patrick Johnson, Post Media in Vancouver, and one of those answers that he had, and it was two or three questions about Caleb Malhotra, his son, who is probably the third best forward prospect in this draft after McKenna and Stenberg, and the Canucks could use a center, and Manny Malhotra knows how to coach centers, and Caleb's definitely learned a few things from his dad at winning a draw. So there is a realistic possibility that even if it wasn't Manny, that they might draft Caleb. What kind of dynamic will that be? And how did you think Manny, because he was open and honest. I thought he'd say, I'm not talking about my son, but no, he went into detail about, hey, are you talking to coach or are you talking to dad? And Caleb usually wants to talk to coach more than he wants to talk to dad. So how do you think that dynamic might actually work if it happens?
Well, it was interesting. Afterwards we talked, of course, there's always the chit chat as we're sort of mingling around and I said to him, man, that must be tough. Like to have to do that kind of firewall inside your head. Like I can't imagine actually how that goes. And he goes, honestly, we don't end up talking hockey that much at home. Right. Like in sort of the home dad life, it is mostly, he'll call him after a game and say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Cause that was the other thing I was thinking about. Like that's so often you hear from players talking about how they'll, even as adults, they'll call their parents, say, here, I my game went like this, or this is what happened. I was thinking about this or this, that, it's the modern parent is sort of the ultimate advisor. And I was sort of thinking, well, shoot, your coach is your dad. You're not going to be able to do that. but it doesn't sound like it kind of happens. It necessarily happens anyway. Like, they'll have a coaching discussion, and then they, you know, they're at home and they just kind of live their lives. But yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Listen, like, it's one thing to do that when you're in junior, you're playing Bantam or whatever. It's a whole other thing when you are in the NHL. So it is going to be interesting to see what, because you're right, man. Like, Cale Malhotra on paper is an absolutely slam dunk prospect for what this team needs.
Patrick, Vancouver's going to be an interesting market this year. And I'll explain it this way. I truly believe that people that complain a lot kind of need that in their lives. And I get the sense the Vancouver fan base kind of needs a dysfunctional organization to exist the way they've currently existed for the past, you know, it's just become a habit. How are they going to react? Because a lot of decisions are being made that make a lot of sense right now. And I think that the Sedins and Ryan and Manny are going to calm things down. Are you guys going to be able to handle it over there?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a team that's made the Stanley Cup final 3 times in its history and twice almost won, but has never won. And then, you know, the running joke is that, you know, you are born in this town knowing that the Vancouver Canucks are never going to win, right? Like, that is an inevitability that, you know, I mean, literally yesterday, and this is a column I have going up today, literally yesterday was the 15th anniversary of the high water mark in Vancouver Canucks history. Alex Burrows scoring in game 2 against the Boston Bruins in 2011. It all seemed possible in that moment. And then, of course, we all know what happened. It didn't happen. People have hope right now. Like, there's a hope that what is on the table, and people know there's a rebuild, and there's going to take some time. But the hope is that what Ryan Johnson and the Sedins are offering, and Manuel Holter are offering, is sort of a, you know, moving back up, right? You're climbing the mountain, and that you can see the path. And now the question is, do they get given, you know, the climbing gear to work with? Do they get the tools? Ownership here has been very good at spending on the shop window, and they've not always been keen to spend on the sort of back of house stuff. And so that's where we're at. Like, where does this go? The starting, they're at the starting blocks. They look good. People are feeling good. And so what happens next is obviously going to be the story. How far down that track can they get?
Can the Sedins climb the mountain as quickly as they do the grouse grind? Yeah. That is the question.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That is Patrick Johnston of Post Media in Vancouver as Manny Malhotra takes over the team. As they're at the start line with where they're at. They've trimmed down that roster. They have the 3rd overall pick and a new head coach, and we'll see where it moves in Vancouver.
And you better not show up out of shape to camp.
All 4 of those guys. The Sedins, Ryan Johnson, and Manny Malhotra. If you don't do well on your conditioning, that's not going to show well.
No.
Like, NHL Combine is this week. They could probably do the combine better than half the guys there that are 18 years old trying to get drafted.
Yeah.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. More coming up, including Britton Gray on what a night last night to open the CFL season, and more on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill. The latest in sports. NBA final game number 2 goes tonight in San Antonio. The Spurs trying to even up the series against the visiting Knicks, who are trying to win their first championship since 1973. In the NHL, no word yet whether Braden McNabb will be able to play tomorrow in game 3 after taking that puck to the face last night off the stick of Nikolaj Ehlers. He left in the first
period.
It's
hard to watch.
Did not return. The game 3 again goes tomorrow. Montreal Canadiens captain Nick Suzuki won the Frank Selke Trophy, the best defensive forward in the NHL, and his teammate Cole Caulfield is the most sportsmanlike player in the league, winning the Lady Bing as well today. And sad news in the NHL, longtime executive, the architect of the 1989 Calgary Flames Stanley Cup team, Cliff Fletcher, has died at the age of 90. Coming up next, it's open line time here on a Friday. 1-877-332-8255. We're cracking up the fan line to you now. Give us a call. What do you want to discuss? Should that have been a goal last night? What about the NBA final? Are you red hot for the World Cup starting next week? Let us know now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All Request Friday here on the Green Zone. Izzy requested to drop some Pearl Jam on this Friday afternoon, getting into the weekend. Well, we know more details, Locker, of the wedding of the year. What do you care more about, World Cup or the wedding of the year?
Ooh, that's tough. I actually think... And I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud. I actually care more about the World Cup than I do Taylor Swift's wedding.
You mean Travis Kelce's wedding?
Okay. All right.
Apparently, it's going to
be... Yes, I care more about soccer than I do about that wedding.
In a month. It's going to be in a month, July 3rd.
How long does that relationship last?
At Madison Square Garden. At the Garden.
Wow.
Over 1,000 invites. Must have lost mine in the mail. Oh, wait, they didn't mail them. I apologize.
And if they didn't know who you would bring, they cut off the plus ones. Did you know that?
For certain people, it was like, just bring yourself.
We don't trust you to bring a plus one.
We don't know who you're going to bring. So, no, you're not bringing anybody.
Why is that so funny? That is hilarious.
So, New York. Around MSG is going to be locked down.
She's got some kind of an affinity with New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a song, Welcome to New York.
Yeah, but
she's played Madison Square Garden a bundle of times. So I don't know.
She's not
she likes New York.
I don't know.
She's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
She likes New York. Likes the vibe, I guess.
And she's got an apartment or something.
Oh yeah, she's got an apartment in London, I think. Got the estate in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Apartment in New York.
Interesting.
Now, of course, they live in Kansas City during the football season as Travis Kelce did not retire. And so it'll be before training camp opens for the Kansas City Chiefs for Travis Kelce. How long will that relationship last? Over under 10 and a half years?
The thing about
that... I'll take the over. I think this one's going to last long time.
So has she been engaged before? I don't know.
No.
She's had like a good run of boyfriends.
Yeah.
She's in her 30s now. I don't know how old she is.
She was born in 1989.
Okay. Whatever that means. 89, 99.
She's 37.
Okay. And how old's Travis? He's
around the same age.
Okay. The thing about, like, my wife has this theory.
Well, she's born in December, so she's not 37 yet. She's 36.
Okay. So my wife has a theory about relationships, because if you meet my wife, you go, what's going on there? Right?
In terms of, like, why is she married to you?
Why would that ever happen? But I think people are like, if you see like on the outward, like if you're evaluating a relationship based on very little knowledge of the two people, and it does have a chance to work, they're equally messed up. It doesn't have to be the same kind of messed up, and we are all kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there might be something there, because you take a look at Taylor Swift and you go, what are you thinking? But I bet you she's kind of, you know, she's got her things, and I'm guessing they're equally kind of messed up. Because, I mean, to be fair to Travis, I think he's a bit of a
dumb jock.
He's a bit of a brick.
She did write a song about him playing video games with his friends, Grand Theft Auto.
But so, there was also a comment about something else in there, too. So anyway.
Oh, the Woods song?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that one, too.
There's that there.
Yeah. But by the way, Toy Story fans as well, Taylor Swift's Toy Story song came out.
I did hear that.
Late last night.
People are freaking out about that.
But the wedding of the year, July 3rd, Madison Square Garden. Hope you enjoyed if you got an invite.
Who knows?
Does he have a game on July 3rd?
Take a look.
Zach Collaros?
Zach's one of those guys that didn't get a plus one.
Oh, no, he would have got a plus one. They would have.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. He's. Well, they played July 5th. I wonder if he'll be practicing on July the 3rd or not for the Bombers ahead of the Tiger Cats.
Do you give him a pass?
With the,
like, if you're the coach of the
Mike O'Shea?
Yeah.
There's no way he's like, oh, yeah, you can go to a Taylor Swift's wedding. Like, no chance. Mike O'Shea, no, we got a game to win. And Zach Collaros is wired. Like, sorry, Trav, I'd love to be there. Got a game to win. And he'd understand it. Yeah, I get you. But if he's not at practice on July the 3rd, we know
he's at.
He'll be there.
T Swifties, what's her nickname?
T Swift, Tay Tay,
Tay Tay. Okay, he's at old Tay Tay's wedding. Did we just do a whole segment on Taylor Swift? I'm not proud of that, by the way. And this is your fault.
I brought it up, then you started asking questions. I was just going to leave it at July 3rd, and then you just kept on asking questions. So I'll put it on locker.
Is this something that gets televised?
No,
no,
not a chance. They
no, it's not. It's not something they tape and then
she's not allowing some relatives to bring a plus one. You think she's going to allow a TV camera in there? No.
That's fair. Yeah. But she does kind of take advantage of
situations. I bet you there'll be a documentary on Disney Plus in about 6 months, though.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. With still shots.
Montages?
Yeah.
Speaking of Madison Square Garden, Game 3 of the NBA Finals going to be there in a couple of days with the New York Knicks and the Spurs. Game 2 goes tonight. I hope this one goes 7. I hope the Stanley Cup Final goes 7. I've been thoroughly entertained by these two series. Game 1 and the first two games of the Stanley Cup Final, I'm loving it. And then the CFL last night, overtime.
I'll be honest. As much as I despise that vile organization from Vegas, I have been, like, enthralled with the hockey. There's something wrong with my TV downstairs, so I had to go upstairs to watch the game yesterday. And my wife chose not to watch the game. She's kind of checked out a little bit on hockey right now. And she was like, there was a lot of yelling going on up there.
I wish I would have videotaped the conversation.
I stood half the game
of my son and I went with the goal call and the coaching challenge last night from John Tortorella.
He was right.
Listen, my son was right. He was correct. He was 100% correct.
Kid's clearly smarter than you.
Yeah, he reminded me of that after they made the ruling. He said, "I told you, Dad. I'm the hockey player." I thought the puck was still loose when Barbashev jammed it in. I really, really thought it was still loose. But
the whistle went.
He was intending to blow the whistle, all that stuff.
See, when I watched that.
Okay, sure.
And I was at.
Whatever.
I was at Mosaic, so I missed a little bit. I was behind. But I watched that. I stopped and looked at it. I'm like, no goal. The whistle blew.
1-877-332-8255. Open line time here on the Green Zone. David and Melfort. What do you think of what you saw last night in the first game of the CFL?
Yeah, now that you guys got your Taylor Swift hard-ons down, I can talk about the football game. The 35-second clock is not working the way I thought they were going to run it. It definitely doesn't run the way the NFL clock.
No, it's not. David, thank you for calling. It's dumb. As soon as the play stops... Start the clock.
Exactly. I mean, you got to, now instead of waiting for the ref to blow it in for the 20-second clock start, they wait for him to blow it in for the 35-second clock or give the signal or whatever he does. Like, ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it just, to me, it makes no sense. They might as well have kept the way it was. I don't think there's any
Stu,
more.
Stu's ruining this league.
No, he's not ruining the league. But David, can I explain? I need to explain this, all right? The media were given the opportunity recently. We were given the opportunity recently to hear from the Canadian Football League on some of the rules. And the 35-second play clock dominated about 75% of the conversation. And we asked in the preseason, usually in the NFL, the play stops. There's like a beat, and that 40-second play clock's already started. Like he runs out of bounds, and it's boom. And the CFL wants to get to that point, but they are still in the training mode a little bit on getting everybody acclimatized to it. It's a new rule. So what they are doing this season, and it might be sped up as the season goes, as people get used to it, is that the play will stop, and then they have to get the right spot of the ball, and they go, okay, here's the spot. And then there's one ref who will raise his hand going, okay, we got the spot. Then they'll start it.
But now, that
could be quick. It could be like, boom, here's the spot. Okay, let's start it. Or it could be like, okay, where'd he go out of bounds? I think he went here. Okay, and there might be
some growing pains. Okay, but hold on. What was the point of the 35-second clock?
Well, there were games last year. You can go back and look at the play-by-play list, and it says what time each play started. And there were plays last year that had a minute five.
Before they started
the start of one play to the start of the next play was a minute and 5 seconds because last year, some of the teams were on different side or on the same sideline, so you had to wait for that team to substitute. So the ref's going to hold and hold and hold until, okay, is all the substitutions gone? Okay, let's start the 20-second play clock. That would be sometimes 30, 40 seconds before they started the 20-second play clock. So it is more consistent. I watched it last night. I still think there's way more flow to the game. And then, yes, the final 3 minutes goes.
I'm with David. Like, if you're going to start a rule, just
do it.
Yeah. Just rip the Band-Aid
do
off.
Do it, and everybody else figure it out.
Yeah.
No grace at all for anybody.
Why? It's a professional sport.
I have similar opinion. Like, I don't understand why they don't just do it.
But it's not like anybody didn't know it was coming.
They did explain it to us on everybody's adjusting to this. These are CFL refs who have been doing it this way for 20 years, and now they're doing something new at the professional level, so they want to make sure it is working and there's not a lot of hiccups. So there's going to be a little bit of a pause between the play ending and when that 35-second play clock begins.
Week.
Jamie and Locker with you here on The Green Zone. 1-877-332-8255. It is open line time. Your thoughts on NHL? NBA, Canadian Football League, or are you heading to any World Cup games? We have a few texts. They've got their tickets. They're heading out. And what games are you going to? 1-877-332-8255. This is The Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight?
Oh, an update on the story Toronto Maple Leafs fans have been waiting for. How did the face-to-face meeting go between Austin Matthews and John Chyka?
Oof.
Apparently, John Chyka has recently traveled to Scottsdale, Arizona, and has met with Austin Matthews. And he reports today, it's the NHL Combine weekend, the Scouting Combine weekend. He says that what he saw was a happy captain, someone who's got a lot of pride in being the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, someone who wants to win in Toronto, which aligns with how we're thinking about it. So remember Austin Matthews said, I can't predict the future a few months ago when he was asked about his future in Toronto. There are steps that have to be in place, but I really can't predict the future. Well, John Chyka is saying, The future is still in Toronto. Austin Matthews.
Let me ask you a question.
Toronto Maple Leaf.
John Chayka comes to your door. Hi, would you buy a vacuum cleaner from him? Like, would you?
No.
No, not. I get off my yard, right? Get in your car and never come back here. He looks sketch. You trust anything that comes out of that guy's mouth? No.
Well,
a word.
He kind of lost his job for, you know, cheating with the National Hockey League and got fined for the Arizona Coyotes.
I still, I mean, just shocked that organization, the Toronto Maple Leafs hired that guy to be the face of their franchise.
And then they win the lottery. And then he wins the lottery and gets gifted Gavin McKenna. Potentially Gavin McKenna to join an all-right roster right now with the Toronto Maple
Leafs. I'm not even a fan of Austin Matthews. Run! Get out of there! Run! Get away from that as far away as you can from the Leafs.
We'll see what the coaching search looks like for Toronto as John Chayka today also updated. Still going through the process. Still waiting for permission to talk to Bruce Cassidy.
And then he took a shot at the past organizations by saying, this organization has never really done a proper search for a coach.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Smartest guy in the room, John Chayka. Meanwhile, NBA Finals go tonight. Game number two, the Spurs try to even things up against the New York Knicks. The Toronto Blue Jays against Baltimore tonight at the Rogers Center after ending their four-game slide. And soccer tonight, Canada's final tune-up game against Ireland ahead of next week's World Cup. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.